Missing minerals? 99% of us are. Concentrace Daily Mineral Powder helps restore what your body's missing, naturally supporting mood, energy, and immunity. Get yours now at TraceMinerals.com.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 837. It's the 2nd of August 2017. On the podcast today, it's a bit of a Greenland special. I know, it's kind of obscure, but I have George Franceschiadis, Executive Chairman of Alba Mineral Resources, ALBA, talks about their recent license award in Northwest Greenland. And also, John Mayer, Mining Analyst and Partner at SP Angel, is live from Greenland. I couldn't speak to him because the bandwidth wasn't good enough, but he sent me a bit of audio, and he's also sent me pictures, and he's up there with Blue Jay Mining, and oddly, into Alba Mineral Resources, RNS, they do mention Blue Jay Mining, because their license is a neighbour of their license, or is neighbouring their license. So John has sent me through kindly some pictures on the beaches there of the mineral sands, dark mineral sands there, and it's very interesting. And I wanted a picture of him. It's on his Skype. He's updated his Skype ID with him sitting on an iceberg, pretty much. But he has sent me some nice pictures there from Greenland. Also on the podcast, I have financial analyst with Spreadex, Conor Campbell, talking about Next and Pearson, whose results are due out this week, or trading updates. Plus, as always, I have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top four most liked RNSs, because there's a joint three on the platform this morning.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is George Franceschiadis, Executive Chairman of Alba Mineral Resources. That's ALBA ticker. George, thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Justin.
Now, you released some positive news yesterday, and we'll get to that in a bit. Before we do that, as always, for people new to the podcast or not aware of the company, George, give us a brief summary as to what Alba Mineral Resources is all about, please.
Sure, no problem. Well, Justin, we're investors in oil and gas, and we are explorers in the mining space. So on the oil and gas side, we've got a 15% interest in Horse Hill Developments Limited. I'm sure you know all about the Horse Hill project in the Weald Basin in Surrey. So we've got a 9.75% direct interest in that very exciting exploration project. Apart from that, quite close to Horse Hill, we've got a 5% interest in Brockham, which is a project that you also probably know a lot about, which is run by Angus Energy, and that was a producing oil field until very recently, and as you know, our Angus and their partners, including ourselves, are trying to get that back into operation very soon. On the mining side, as you say, we'll come to a new development that we announced yesterday. Apart from that new license, we are busy working on our high-grade graphite project called Amitsoq in South Greenland, and we have some legacy projects in Ireland and Mauritania.
Yeah, and so the news yesterday, which is a new little development, you've been awarded an exclusive exploration license in Thule Black Sand Province in Greenland. So take us over, sir. And you mentioned it in your RNS here, but the only other people I know involved in that space is Blue Jay Mining, and they've done very well there. So take us through the reason why you've gone for this and the highlights there, George, if you would.
Yeah, of course. Justin, look, we've been working in Greenland for a couple of years now. We really like the country. It's a very friendly mining jurisdiction. It's easy to work in. The laws and regulations are clear, and we've got a lot of experience now working in there. As part of doing all of that work, we've been looking around to see what other interesting assets and license areas are still available in Greenland, and we have done quite an extensive review, and as a result of that, we made an application for this 104-kilometre stretch of coastline in northwest Greenland in the Thule Black Sand Province, as they call it. Mm-hmm. And it is adjacent to the Blue Jay license. As you say, Blue Jay have done some very, very good work and had fantastic results on their ground. We've seen an opportunity there. There's a lot of historic work that's been done in the region over the decades, and we've relied upon that in making our application area. And we have been awarded, I'm glad to say, an extensive 384 square kilometre piece of ground in what they call the Steensby Land. Mm-hmm. In this province, which is known to host, has historically mapped, raised and active heavy mineral sand beach areas, which I can go into a little bit more detail, but essentially it is mineral sands that it's prospective for, and in particular ilmenite.
Okay, and for people not aware of ilmenite, what is it used for? What do you get from it?
Yeah, well, it's the primary source of something called titanium dioxide. Mm-hmm. And titanium dioxide is mainly used as a whitening pigment in things like paints, plastics and paper. Mm-hmm. It's a key market. The research says that globally, the titanium dioxide market is expected to reach about $18 billion by 2021. So it's a massive market. As ever, grade is king, certainly for exploration projects and development projects. And what we've seen from Blue Jay is that they've announced an initial resource. I know they're out there working right now to increase their resources, but in terms of grade, they have announced that very recently, I think only last month, that they've had it independently verified that their project has the highest grade in situ ilmenite of any project that's being worked on globally. So grade appears to be a massive tick in the box, and obviously we hope that when we get out there and start doing work on the ground this summer, that we will see similar grades on our ground. But that obviously remains to be seen.
Yes, excellent stuff. And as far as this is aware, you go out there. We are the summer now, so I know in Greenland you have to pick your times, because there's some harsh climates out there, isn't there?
Yeah, look, I mean, there is a limited field season, and we're aware of that, and obviously that's par for the course. That's the territory that we're working in. I mean, not so much in Amitsoq down in southern Greenland, where we are on the same latitude as far northern Scotland. So actually, you can probably work a lot longer year round in Amitsoq, and that's what we found. Certainly in the Thule region, the field season is more limited, but we've still got a window to get out there. The turnaround time at the mines department in Greenland, as I said, they're extremely, extremely helpful. We expect to be able to put in a work program very shortly and to have that turned around with a matter of a few weeks. So we're already in discussions with contractors, people who are familiar with working in Greenland, both our own internal technical team and other experienced contractors, to get out into this new and exciting area and do some work. Now, the thing I would mention about something like mineral sands is that it's at surface and close to surface. So this is a relatively inexpensive exploration activity that's involved. It's sampling, trenching, and shallow auger drilling. So it's compared to hard rock drilling, we're expecting this to be relatively, as I say, inexpensive to push the exploration forward, certainly in the first instance. So we're keen to get out there before the end of this season.
Yeah, and so and what exactly will you be achieving before the end of the season? What's the news we can expect from that, George?
Well, look, there's still a fair amount of historical review work to be done. There's a huge amount, as I say, of work that's been done over the decades. Now, we've reviewed some of that, but we haven't probably touched the tip of the iceberg there, if that's not the wrong expression to be using when we come to Greenland. But there's a lot more work that can be done in terms of data review, and that could unearth some very interesting work. We certainly haven't, as I say, unearthed all of that as yet, in respect of how it impacts our ground. But we want to get out there and take samples and have them assayed and understand what the grade is. We would like, if the time permits, to go and do some drilling in order, potentially, if we're not being too optimistic, to get an initial resource which could be worked over the winter season when we're not out there in the field. But you know, we certainly want to get out there and do some basic work, ground penetrating radar, sampling, trenching, and hopefully some drilling as well. And that should really give us a lot of information that we can then assimilate over the winter months and then plan the next field season.
Yeah, well, you're building quite a portfolio here. I mean, for a, you know, for a company where you are currently sub 10 million market cap, you've got oil and gas interests, you've got a mining there in graphite, and now you've got ilmenite, and also, like you said, legacy issues with uranium in Mauritania. So people listening right now, George, and they like the sound of this, but they're not following you yet. Could you sort of give them three reasons why they should hit that follow button on the Vox Markets page there?
Sure. Well, look, we've still got these very, very prospective and potentially very valuable assets in the oil and gas space, Justin. We're the second largest holder in the Horse Hill Consortium at 15%. We are waiting on, obviously, news, as all of our shareholders are, of hopefully a positive decision at the Surrey County Council in terms of planning so that we can push forward with extended flow tests at Horse Hill. We know that Brockham, we're all waiting also for the field development plan addendum to be approved so that Angus can get out there and start getting the project area back into production. So we're on the cusp in our oil and gas investments of two very significant developments. Apart from that, we've got Amitsoq, which is a high-grade graphite project that we intend to drill when we next get out there in the next field season and define an initial JORC resource. So that'll take Amitsoq, you know, quite forward in terms of what we know about it and what I think what confidence people can have in it as a prospective exploration project. Then we have now just added a, as you say, a third piece, if you like, a third string to our bow, which we're very excited about. The geology is the same as has been proven up on neighbouring ground. We have to go in, in and do some work clearly to establish that that's correct. But a lot of the historical work is pointing up that we've got a potentially, you know, very valuable new addition to our suite of projects. So I think those three reasons, our oil and gas investments, our Amitsoq graphite, and now our Thule Black Sand project, are three good reasons to be following Alba.
George, good to speak to you, and hopefully we'll speak again very soon. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
Okay, as I mentioned earlier, I've got a little audio piece from John Mayer of SP Angel, and he's with the guys at Blue Jay Mining in the, excuse the pronunciation here, he's at the Marisak Bay, which is Pacific in Greenland. And so he's looking on the mineral sands, the active beach environment, and the ilmenite mineral sands. And you can also see that, or the pictures of this, on the blog at voxmarkets.co.uk. /blog. Take it away, John.
Hey, Justin, it's good to hear from you. I'm standing here in the middle of the Arctic above the 75th parallel. The boys have been in for a swim. It's very bracing here. It's about 3 degrees in the water. The field teams are out. They are busy drilling. I can see the new sonic drill rig working on the horizon. There is black sand for miles. 20, 30 miles of ilmenite, titanium, mineral sands. Looks like good grade. We can't talk about how much they're pulling out right now in the cores. Not seen that yet because it's just slightly over the horizon, but I think all is going well. The bathymetry team are out there in a boat. They're just working out exactly how the shoreline dips away, how shallow it is. I'm looking at the bay area where dredging will start next year, and I'm looking over at a group of sample bags which are being sorted for transport to customers that will hopefully put in large scale orders smallish scale orders for next year in order to get this project going. We are hopeful, from what I hear, on the quality of the exceptionally high grade ilmenite ore coming out, that that this is going to look very good for the titanium mineral sands processors, the guys that produce the pigments and the titanium metal markets, which should be expanding around the world right now, particularly with the way things are growing. Seems to be positive economic news coming from all parts of the globe, give or take a few hiccups in the United States on the political side. But from where I am in the Arctic, it does not look like too much of a challenge to produce 60, 80, 100,000 tons of ilmenite concentrate next year, and actually to ramp that up going forwards. It's a perfect setting. It's a little bit cold, and there is a bit of ice in the bay, but nothing too much to worry about. And I think this is looking very exciting indeed. So over and out from the 75th parallel in the Arctic. Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Connor Campbell, financial analyst at Spreadex. You all right, Connor?
I'm very good, thank you.
All right, fella. So what companies have news out this week?
Next is first up, I guess, on Thursday.
Oh, interesting.
It's been a pretty awful year for Next, really, defined by a profit warning, you know, I think it was on the 4th of January, as early as you could get, really. And since then, you know, it plunged by like 20%. And since then, it hasn't really been able to get that lost value back. There was a bit in spring where it was approaching around, I think, you know, £45 market. Looked like perhaps a recovery was on its way, because even though it posted its first drop in annual profit for 8 years, its willingness to sort of admit its mistakes and say it was returning to its heartland products and things like that seemed to generate enough goodwill to start some kind of springtime recovery. But since then, it's lost its way again. I think the first quarter update in May didn't help. Total sales were down 2.5%. That was split between 8.1% drop in store sales, which is pretty huge, and a 3.3% rise in its directory sales, which covers its catalogue and, yeah, you know, online divisions. Since then, I think it's just been hit as well by, you know, concerns about the wider retail sector as well in the UK. You know, we've had all that stuff in June about rapidly rising inflation and stagnant wages and the impact that was going to have on retail sales. I think that really hurt the stock in the last couple of weeks. But since July, it's sort of picked up again. We've actually seen a lot of support for the stock at Spreadex. A lot of clients buying around that £37 mark to the £39 mark where it is now, even though its second quarter figures don't look like they're going to be any great shakes either. I think retail store sales again down 8.8%, which is, you know, an increase on Q1, but with a 5.2% rise in online sales. I think as long as those online sales keep growing, then that's always something Next has got to point to. I think the main issue is going to be currently its full year pre-tax profit target stands at 740 million. Now that's down, you know, they trimmed it in January. That was, you know, obviously one of the main issues for that January update. Then they trimmed it again in May. If they can leave that intact, then investors, given how much bad news there has been in the first half of the year, investors may take that as a positive, you know, scrabbling around for a positive. If they leave that pre-tax profit forecast intact, then that may well be something that can keep its sort of nascent recovery going, or at least keep it around that £39-40 mark.
Yeah, yeah. On a technical level, it's almost like in fact, you don't need to draw a line. If you look at the 200-day moving average, it's failed to break that all the time. Even it's come up, down again to a further level, up, down again to a further level, down, and it's kept doing that. You know, from when you think of it, this was 80 quid a share back at the end of 2016. 80 quid
insane.
A share. I know. Now it's down at 39.
To be honest, it makes sense if it was that much money that recently, and it's, you know, it's a high street stock. Those aren't worth that money really.
Yeah, well, and also you've got a question in this day and age, you know, just the competition. I go back, you know, 5 years, and even that time period, a lot has changed, you know. And you've got a lot of these companies saying they don't want high street stores anymore. Bricks and mortar cost a lot of money, and you've got challenges from all kinds of players. So I don't think it'll ever get back up there. I mean, I think it'll recover from where it is now, but I don't think it'll ever get back up there. But certainly a chance of like 10, 20% gain easy here. But, you know, like you say, they've got to have something positive coming out, because I know this, they'll take a while to sort of to get sort of sort. I don't know what there's this issue with the fashion. They'd I don't know what happened. They said it wouldn't be coming through now until September. So at least the end of the year, hopefully they'll get sorted for Christmas. But yeah, it would be interesting to see, because as yet, I would like to see a retest of that that 36 quid level, or 30, or I'd like to see a, you know, another test of it, or a little bit higher test of that, say 37. But as yet, you know, it's just gone up in a little bit of a V, which there's no such thing as a V-shaped recovery, really. So it's to me, there's no confirmation that a bottom is in here. You know, it could go lower, and I'd like to see that confirmation there. But you know, it's they pay a good dividend. That's why I suppose people are buying in here. So and they're, yeah, they're sticking with the dividend, I think. So cool. Next, anything else, Connor?
Well, Pearson at the end of the week. Pearson is it's had an absolutely, you know, last year wasn't great, and this year's been a bit bonkers, really. It had that, like Next, really, it had a huge, huge fall at the start of the year in sort of mid-January. It had that profit warning, it slashed its dividend, and it announced that it was putting up its 47% stake in Penguin Random House up for sale. You know, that sent it 29% lower. Yeah. And since then, you know, for most stocks, that's going to be your one big move of the year, and then the rest of the year is going to be spent trying to sort of, you know, recover from that. Yeah, Pearson still managed some big, you know, gap-inducing moves in the last few months. Interestingly, investors ignored its full-year figures. You know, it posted its biggest pre-tax loss of all time. I think it was $2.6 billion. Then May, I think in April, you had stuff like a comment from BNP Paribas saying that growth in the company's virtual schools division, which is, I think, an increasingly important division for Pearson, given that it's, you know, getting rid of divisions at an alarming rate. They said growth in that division wouldn't be sustainable. But then in May, the Pearson said that it might be selling its K-12 courseware publishing business in the US, which was one of the reasons why its profits fell so sharply at the start of the year. That news, you know, sent it 12% higher, I think, at the start of May. And then, you know, you had just a few weeks ago, you had the news that it had sold 22% stake in Penguin Random House. That, in the early hours of that day, sent it higher. But then people looked a bit closer at the update, and it seemed as if the company had stuck an effective dividend warning into that report, with a slight change in the wording you know, what kind of dividend it would produce in the next couple of years, and that, you know, sent it lower again. It's been ridiculous, really. I think we've seen a fair amount of interest in it buying around the 650 mark. I think because it's shown this year that it's got some big movements in it, be it up or down. Mm-hmm. And I think people have looked at that fall in July and thought, okay, well, maybe there is room for it to, you know, it's bounced a bit in the last couple of weeks, maybe there is room for it to climb a bit higher. I think it's going to be depending on, has it got all of the bad news out of the way? Repeatedly, it keeps sort of sneaking a bit of bad news here, a bit of bad news there. If that's out of the way and it's half your figures on Friday, I think revenue's meant to be up 9%, so that's a solid headline figure to sort of for Pearson to hang the report on. If it doesn't produce any more bad news, then maybe it has got room to climb. But it has been a fairly dramatic year for the company.
Yeah, no one likes it when you see was that disposal? Was it Penguin? Was it saying?
Penguin Random House, which is like, it's the biggest publishing company in the world. So for them to be getting rid of their you know, what was a 47% stake in it, isn't, you know, I guess it's good in the short term. You know, it gives a bit, it probably will end up making them £2 billion or something. But, you know, that's a big stake in a big company that I guess ideally they would have kept hold of.
Yeah, yeah. And also that press release, Pearson's agrees to sell 22%. And you're right, they mentioned the dividend there. They said, let's have a look. So said, in January, we also announced our intention to rebase our dividend. Today, we are announcing that our future dividend policy will be to pay a sustainable and progressive dividend that is comfortably covered by the earnings of our ongoing business, excluding any contribution from PRH. So you'd assume they're bringing it lower so they can sustain it.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
Okay. All right, marvellous. One worth looking out for. Thanks for that, Connor. And
thanks very much.
And listen, let's speak on Friday, and we'll rearrange this, I think, because middle of the week is quite awkward. If you do Friday, we can update on news coming forward in the next week. So that's speak Friday, fella.
See you Friday.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They were at five, Primoris Investments, PRIM. At four, I just spoke to George on the podcast, Alba Mineral Resources. That's ALBA. At three, United Oil and Gas. Brian Larking was in the podcast yesterday. That's the managing director of United Oil and Gas, just listed. Ex-Tello Oil guys there at the management. So plenty of experience. At two, always there. And these two companies at the moment are fighting for top position. Ascent Resources, AST. And number one, it's UK Oil and Gas, UKOG. And I think yesterday, those positions were swapped. So very interesting for some people. Okay, and here are the top four most liked RNSs on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They were at four, Aminex Management Appointments. At three, Sirius Petroleum, SRSP. Are you serious? Yes, Holdings and Company. At two, Eco Energy. Really? Total voting rights? Someone like that? That just shows a lot of enthusiasm for that company. At number one, it's Hurricane Energy. Update regarding proposed preempted offering. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.